Today I would like to talk about, as advertised, how to overcome anger and hatred. Why do we get angry? The first question is because we don't get what we want. That's why we're angry. Depends on the intensity, how angry we are. The more we want something, and you know, the more the intensity is, and when we don't get it, then we are very disappointed, frustrated. From that can spring anger. Things we like them to do the way we want, and not being done that way, etc. and etc. So we all know how anger can be provoked, and how anger can rise up and can do a lot of untold damages. But to overcome this anger and hatred, we can look at two different ways. One is a conventional way that everyday, you know, living that we have. The other one is a step beyond that, to go beyond these conventional realities. So we start from there, we go beyond this conventional reality of when we get angry, we can ask, who is that that is being angry? Who is it? Who is the person that is now angry? Of course, in, you know, conventional reality, we can say, that's me or that's you or so on and so forth. The reason we say this is that, as I said earlier, the nature of change, nature of impermanency, and then we are trying to pinpoint that changing process, and one of the process we would hang on to, and we say, oh, that is me. I'm a happy person. I'm an angry person. I'm this and I'm that. So we identify ourselves with those moments that is going through, or we try to personalize them as if they are ours, our identities. So in conventional reality, you know, that is you and this is me. I cannot argue that, and that is true. You look like you and I look like me. But if we go beyond that, you know, if we go beyond that, men or women, whoever they are, prime minister or the pauper, you know, there is only an entity of a mind and a body. That's what a human being is. And that human being is also made up of a body, must have a body, of course, otherwise it'll be a different being. And must have feelings, must have perceptions, must have these mental formations like thoughts and this and that. Must have these consciousness, like I'm talking to you and you have the sound consciousness, as well as the sight consciousness by seeing me, and then sense consciousness, you know, hearing consciousness, taste consciousness when we eat something, when it's cold, that's a touch, you know, a consciousness, so on and so forth. And then we need to know these, because after all, this anger, hatred, or happiness, unhappiness, these are coming from ourselves, you from yourselves. So we need to know what we are made up of. So that's what it is. It has a body, has feelings, and has perceptions of this orange is sweet, that lemon is sour, etc. And has these perceptions of, oh, she is so-and-so, he is so-and-so. And have this mental formations, you know, thoughts about these things, good, bad, I like it, I don't like it, you know, I want it, I don't want it. And all these consciousness of sight, sound, and hearing, and tasting, so on and so forth. So, in a sense, this is what a human being, you know, is made up of. What does a human being do then, isn't it? There's only few things a human being can do. In fact, it's only six things that a human being can do. Seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, and thinking. That's what we do all our lives. But how do we do it? That's where it's coming from, this anger, hatred, and this and that. Isn't it? So, okay, that's what a human being does, you know, seeing, hearing, smelling, tasting, touching, and thinking. Now, we call it life. As a human being is born until the day he dies, we call it a life, you know, isn't it? What are the characteristics of life then that we living, that we go through? You know, is it beneficial that we know about it? It is beneficial. For example, I've just explained it to you. There is change, value of change. Things are impermanent. So when this anger comes up, you know, we can quickly go to the bathroom, get a mirror, and go and get a watch. Hey, I'm angry now. That's 10 past 12. Time it. How long can I be angry? Watch your face, too, in the mirror. So how angry you are, you know? 10 past 1. Is it still that angry? You know, 4:15? Next 10 days, next 2 years, isn't it? So is that change? They cannot sustain themselves because whatever is subject to formation is subject to cessation. That is value of change. Because of the changing nature of things, law of nature, nobody made it up, it's there. They cannot sustain themselves. This anger, this happiness, feeling of goodness, feeling of feeling terrible, whatever it is, it has to change. So there is impermanency there. So with that characteristic alone, things are impermanent. You know, when we get angry, when we are overwhelmed with hatred, we can contemplate ourselves, hang on, whatever it is, it won't last forever. I don't need to participate in it. I don't need to identify myself as my characteristic, you know, on this moment of either happiness or hatred or anger. What happened then? You know, we got blinded and we forgot about this, and then we identified ourselves with this moment. Yes, I'm angry that I coming in now. We personalized this moment as ours. So then rage coming up. And we would participate in it. We would give verbally as good as we get. And bodily action, we might kill somebody or bash up somebody or something like that, isn't it? Or kick somebody's car and got dented or something like that. Because of that participation, not realizing that these are passing moments, everything passes and this too shall pass. Not knowing this, not realizing this, you know, wisdom through the life experience, through the law of nature, we foolishly participated in it. And we have to pay the price. We have to live with the consequences because we are the owners of what we did deliberately. That's what we call karma. Karma is the result of the action that we did deliberate with deliberate intentions. So if I go and, you know, kill somebody, then the law will catch up with me conventionally, in conventional reality. And then I'll be there in the jail and sitting there next 10, 20 years, you know, pay the price. And when I came out, the stigma is there. I'll be looked down by people as a murderer because I participated in it. And the prices that we have to pay very, very high, emotionally upsetting, you know. And then it keeps on remembering and then it's hurting and, you know, like a slow burning fire. So it's a slow death by our own ignorance, not understanding, not having this wisdom of the characteristic of life that things are impermanent, things are changing. So with this characteristic alone, by understanding this, having wisdom on this, realizing this, we can let go of this anger and hatred. Say, I refuse, I won't participate, you know. because this is a magician, very good, you know, sawing this, you know, lady, beautiful lady in half. When we're young, we don't know, and we scream, oh, no, please, this, that. But when we realize that it's just a trick, it doesn't bother us that much. So same thing, magician of life is doing his very trickery, doing his tricks. And with wisdom, we avoid being caught in it. Another characteristic of life is the that is a impersonal nature of things, right? What is impersonal nature of things? For example, this is a pen that I have, and I bought it, so I own it, of course. So there's ownership in it, as well as the due to the ownership control factor on it. I can control it. If I give it to one of you, the pen will be there with you, wouldn't come back to me. And if I put it down there, it'll be there unless I touch it or move it. Because I say in conventional reality, that is mine. I own it, I control it. Do you own your mind? Is it your mind? If you own your mind, if you control your mind, if you have the ownership on your mind, because it is your mind, as you say, then when we're meditating, we are trying to concentrate on this breath, and our wishes and desires are that this mind be concentrated on this breath. How come the mind is going here, the mind is going there? Can't you control your own mind? Because you said it is your mind. Is there ownership involved? Is there a controlling factor involved? If it is, if there are, we should be able to control our mind. That there, that center, you know, concentrated, not moving anywhere. And if we say, don't get angry, the mind will never get angry no matter what. But does it act that way? So this is to contemplate, because the first principle in Buddhism is yoniso manasikara. That means giving wise attention to the root causes of things, or investigation in a close translation. So we got to ask questions, we got to investigate. So I'll leave that for you to contemplate. Again, that is your body, this is my body in the conventional term. Do we own it? Do you own your body? Do you control your body? Is the ownership and controlling factor involved in it? If you control it, the most obvious thing would be when you get up in the morning, tell your body, I got to get to ECU so and so time. I'm very busy this morning. I got to drive to Bunbury. Don't do anything. Don't you ever do anything. Do it when you come back, say about 5 or 6. You got plenty of time. It's all yours. Will your body listen to you? Or do you have to run screaming, you know, to the toilet? Or I would say, okay, Mr. Body, I want to live until 120. By that time, there'll be so many new developments. I want to experience it. I want to hear it. I want to feel it. And please die in spring because it's a good weather. And please die on Sunday because everyone's there so they can come to my bedside. And then, you know, please die about 2 o'clock so I can have a good lunch before I die. Will my body listen to me? Write it down on that day. Would it die on that day? Isn't it? And as we are sitting here, some diseases and ailments has already risen. Some hasn't arisen yet. Do we know which one is not arisen yet? Do we know which blood cell is going where? Which muscle is doing what? It's your body, you know. It's our body, you know. Do we know that? Can we personalize these processes? Or is it a natural process that is going through its own multiple causes and conditions? These are the things to contemplate. Not to believe in, to contemplate and see it for yourself with your own experience, not other people's experience. So then you find out yourself what it is. That's where you come to realize the existence of life itself and how it functions, how it operates. And through this body and the mind in combination, we are going through many things, not only anger and hatred. There are many other feelings as well, isn't it? If we look at it, the body and the mind, and again, we need to go a bit deeper, you know. For example, is the body and the mind together? Seems like it, isn't it? Because now I'm talking with the mind that belongs to this body, through the neurons and everything, through the brains, with the perceptions and feelings and cognitions that I'm talking to you, isn't it? But if you look at a body lying on the hospital bed, a person in coma, with the mind absent, can that body get up by itself and turn on the television and make a cuppa and drink and eat something? Or when the body is paralyzed, the mind is active, can that mind, you know, get itself and get a drink and this and that, when the body is like Professor Hawkins, isn't it? So if you look carefully, there is a separation of functions there, but they are joined, the operation is joined together, go hand in hand. Without the mind, the body can't do anything. With the body, you know, in a rundown position, whatever the mind wants to do, the body can't perform it either. This is a little bit, you need to contemplate more and constant. It's called Namarupa Parichera Jnana, the knowledge that knows the distinction between the functions of the mind and the body. If you make a drink and drinking, you observe, who is doing that? Is it the mind or the body? Who is doing what? When you have to go to the toilet, say who is doing what? Are you fulfilling the requirements of the body, or is it your wishes, or you still want to finish that very important one on the computer without going to the toilet? Or just you have to go to the toilet because you can't hold it anymore? The requirements of the body that the mind is fulfilling? Is there separation or are they together? You've got to profoundly, you know, follow these, investigate through these things. Then only you'll realize the function, the role of this body and the mind. That gives you a different stage, some profound wisdom that you can let go of this anger and hatred because of knowing the origins of this, you know, body, the origin of this mind. It's like you become an executive, and then, you know, when somebody come and take the Lego that you played when you were 2 years old, you can't let go of it and say, you can't take my Lego, isn't it? You have advanced so far and you're still attaching to these trivial little things. So when you're this deep, these anger, hatred and delusions are just little trivial things that doesn't, you know, bother you anymore. So this is going with a bit deeper level of, you know, what, you know, this, you know, life is all about, what a human being is all about. And when you look from that contemplation, these anger and hatreds are just unnecessary obstacles that is pulling you down, you know. Like wearing an expensive shirt and a trouser or a skirt, whatever, you didn't realize that your shirt is coming out at the back and you're showing off to people everywhere, walking around with your shirts, you know. Something like that, something little thing that is, you know, pulling you down. Such a big status you have, big happiness, big life, big understanding, wisdom you have. So there is another way of, one way of looking at how to let go of anger and hatred. They're not important when you look from this point of view. And also when you have this wisdom, you come to realize that there is compassion for everyone, because everyone's the same. We're on the same boat. We can forgive and we have compassion. On the conventional level, somebody come and say something, you know, nasty things, we're very happy. Somebody come, we're very unhappy and angry. somebody come and say something that is nice, we're happy. Isn't it? That is causes and conditions. Because this person with that mouth say good things and bad things, you know, we're happy and unhappy, you know, like a yo-yo. So what other people has to come and do is push that button, red or blue. Red make him angry, you know, blue make him happy. Just whenever they come and push, we are jumping up and down, you know. If you can see this, if you can see this, that is, it is us who is acting and reacting. Not God, even though got something to do with others, that's not the main thing. The main thing is us. So when we point a finger to somebody, the three fingers is always pointing back to us. So it is us. So in the conventional level, even, you just let it go. But, you know, with wisdom, when we are wise, we try and find out, why this person angry? Did I say something wrong? Did I act something wrong with body, speech, and mind? With a good person, good mind inside, being us like that, then we analyze ourselves. If we do something wrong, then if once we realize it, we go and apologize to them sincerely. When it comes out from our hearts, with genuine sincerity, people can accept it. People can forgive. Not winning or losing. Buddha said, victory breeds hatred. Defeated live in pain. Happily the peaceful live. Giving up victory and defeat. That's how we live. It's not to go and win, not to go and lose. But to bring harmony and peace and friendship towards their family, towards their colleagues, towards everyone that we use on the road. Friendliness and forgiveness. So when you have this, what happens is in the family, we start making friends with our partners, with our, you know, parents, with our children, with our neighbors, with our colleagues. Because friendship, you know, opposite of hatred and anger is love and kindness. And to start that, friendship is a first step to love. Love not as in, you know, boyfriend, girlfriend love. Love as in compassion to another human being. And by listening and understanding their problems give you, you know, some sort of insight. And we were able to forgive on the conventional level. So that also produced serotonins and this and that would make you more, you know, happy and want to do things. But if you're unhappy and moody and this and that, then all the melatonins and other chemicals that produce in the body make you more grumpy and you don't want to make friends with others. But if you have this wisdom, the body chemical changes and you're ready to smile then, you know. And even when you're driving, people cut in, you just slow down, let them go safely. You don't have that winning or losing mentality there anymore. When people tailgate you, oh, well, his mind is being troubled, you know. Imagine it's your little son or a daughter or a niece or nephew or an old grumpy, you know, uncle doing that. Oh, well, silly old goat, you know. You change lane. Let them go. Think of somebody, Buddha said, change direction. So do that. And if you do change direction, think as somebody in your family would have done that to that silly old Uncle Billy, you know, always used to do that, you know, swearing and, you know, showing fingers to people or silly, you know, old one, you know, let him go. Like that, if young ones, well, they are start, you know, learning how to fly, they make mistakes and they are in that stage, you know, well, you know, forgive them. So this is a way of, a noble way of living, you know, living in an elated stage with good values, kindness and love inside. That way we can let go of this anger and hatred. So that is the time has come to stop. So that all I have and I can offer you. And if you would like to come next time as well, please, you are invited cordially. Please come again. Thank you very much. Have a lovely day. If you have any